in the face of the enemy.
Let the enemy have no power over
him. And the son of iniquity be powerless to harm
Your mother sucks cocks and hell,
Karras. Hi, everyone. It's Ethan McKinley, and welcome to Was It Worth It? The show where I take Toffer on a cinematic journey through the annals of film history. The annals or the anals? I don't know. We'll find out. As you all know, many of you may not, Toffer has never seen any of the mainstream or classic movies. He's probably in Fritzl's basement, for all I know. And he's not seen some of the really shitty classic movies like The Room. Anyway, for this week, I forced Toffer to watch William Friedkin's 1973 classic, The Exorcist, a film so notorious people were carried out of the movie theatres vomiting. Fucking pussies. So, without further ado, to find out, was it worth it? Here he is, my bearded female magician's assistant, with the lovely legs. Here's Toffer! Woo!
I have got nice legs, mate. I've got my mum's legs.
I've got lovely legs. They're in a chest freezer in the fucking basement. Yeah. We ate the rest of her.
Well, no vomiting for me this time, mate.
No?
No vomiting for me. We'll get into it.
We'll get into it. Because, full disclosure, folks, Toffer went last week, I've watched The Exorcist. And I was like, oh, that'll be a good one to do. How did I not think of that? How have we not done that yet? We've seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre. We've seen Alien. We've seen all, like, The Thing, all these classic horror films that people still lord over even now. Like, films that still get every couple of years a special edition DVD with a new documentary or a new commentary by the director or a slight change to the edit or a director's cut or an extended version. The Exorcist, I think apart from Evil Dead, has probably had more re-releases on DVD and Blu-ray than any other title. But a day or two ago, Toff went, fuck The Exorcist, I can't be honest. Well, you said you didn't have much to say about it, but I think as it's such a classic, I certainly do. I mean, I go back and forth on what I feel about The Exorcist, but I think you're in the same place. But that's what this show is for. The Exorcist, I think, is a perfect thing for this format because it's an old film and considered a classic that people were literally, apparently, throwing up, fainting, falling over, being carried out of the movie theatres when the film was initially released. My sister snuck into it, apparently, back in the day. She's 58 now, I think, 59. She was so shocked by it, she's refused to ever watch it again. If you put a clip of it on a computer or when it's on the TV, she freaks out and leaves the house. When she's visiting, I might add, I'm not living with my sister who's 58.
Come and knock on the door.
We only have sex on Fridays, it's fine.
Yeah, standard.
So
it was... You remember when we did the Halloween season and we were on about what films are we going to do for Halloween? And like I picked like five or six and I think we did three of them, maybe four. The Exorcist was on the list.
It's a Christmas movie.
And it was just, for some reason we didn't get to it. And it's always stuck with me that we never got to it. So I thought, oh, okay, I will get round to it.
Right.
And I did. And the reason I didn't want to do this was I'll loosely... To tell you what I thought now.
Well, before you do, I'm going to start the 30-minute timer because we're going to try and get these shows super tight and locked down like the buttresses on the Titanic, which of course sank, but that's beside the point. So I'm hitting the 30-minute timer now. Yeah. Okay, go, Toffer.
Problem is with this film for me, right? We're getting this is my general summary of the film. My personal feelings to this, I was just too down the middle. You remember with Into the Night where I was just down... No, it wasn't Into the Night, it was The Blob. I was just straight down the middle and I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It just was. That's my initial feelings. I had to keep reminding myself that it was ahead of its time, that some of the imagery... It is still shocking, but like back in the 70s, it would have really... like it would have fucked people up. Like with the Chainsaw Massacre, that imagery still shocked me now. But I don't know, maybe I'm desensitized to seeing a 14-year-old girl blast herself with a crucifix. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll come to that. Well, as you've heard, he didn't think it was worth it. And thanks for listening, viewers. You can find
Toffer. Ethan, you've obviously seen this film before. When did you first see it and what was your initial reaction to it?
I literally can't remember it. I don't think it was ever on TV and I'm not sure... Why? I don't remember it ever being on TV, like The Thing and all the things we've like watched prior to this on the show.
I imagine this being on telly, it would have been very edited.
Yeah, but this thing, I don't recall it ever being on TV. I mean, I saw like the Fulci films, like the Video Nasties, The Night of the Demon, Cannibal Ferox, Cannibal Holocaust. I grew up watching those things because I had access to a video shop as a six-year-old boy. I'm normal, honestly. But the
we were only talking about people being beheaded before we went live, so it's fine.
Exactly.
Ethan's very normal.
So no, I don't remember that. The only thing I can vaguely remember is seeing it on a re-release around 93 with a girl I was dating called Kat. I think we saw it the same week that Cruel Romance came out, so it would be 93.
So that is a fucking good film.
And we came
That's
out
a
of it.
Great film.
Right, it's a great film. You just ruined that for a future show. And you've
I love that film. Go on, Kale.
I think it was just like the same reaction for you is that, I understand its place in movie history. I understand the effect it probably would have had, even though it sounds very extreme, the things I said, people being carried out of the cinema. I don't believe that, because they said that about Alien.
Oh no, I do, because there's a lot of weak Southerners in America. Like, you know, the, oh, Lord, Jesus, take me now. You know, them types.
Well, the Bible Belt people who are, like, super religious. Yeah.
I imagine, like, seeing, like, a 14-year-old fucking blast herself with a crucifix.
Well, that's that one image enough. That's stuck with you. I can imagine, like, the middle America God-fearing types probably would have found taken exception to that. There was actually a piece of trivia I found that Linda Blair was under, like, armed guard security for 6 to 8 months, I think, after the film was released, because she was receiving death threats or other agents and stuff, because they said it was glorifying Satan. I don't know where they came up with that for The Exorcist, because I don't think it glorifies Satan at all.
No, Satan comes out looking like a bit of a knobhead.
Yeah. Well, Pazuzu, we should as he's named, the demon Pazuzu is the creature that we see in a flash a couple of times in the film, which is like some actor or actress, sorry, with kabuki makeup on.
It just reminded me of American Werewolf in London, that did.
It did. It had the kind of like classic Wolfman look, didn't it? With the kind of like the white eyes and mouth, and then like the
I've seen that image before. I've definitely seen that a few times, but I never associated it with this film.
Yeah. I mean, it did gangbusters at the box office. It...
It's just like Gang Rape. Then.
Well, does that? It did Gang Rape at the box office in the '70s, and now it does gangbusters financially. At the time, its domestic gross was $232 million.
Really?
Foreign, it did $208 million. Now, adjusted for inflation, this was back in the day. It did $500 million, basically, almost $441 million combined.
I can't imagine it cost him much either.
Oh God, no! I wouldn't have thought so. But. Adjusted for inflation, apparently, according to adjustedforinflation.com, that's $2.4 billion.
Shit, that's Avengers money?
That is Avengers money. I need to go and do more research in this, because that's like more than, like, that would put it as like one of the greatest films of all time, like box office wise. And I've never seen it pop up on any top 10 list, so I'm questioning the validity of this website. You put the dollars in, the year it was from, and then it kind of calculates it up to whatever year you want. This, of course, being 2018. If you're listening past this year, hello to the future. Welcome.
Was it banned?
I don't think it was banned. And I've looked and I couldn't find anything relating to that. I know kind of Kubrick banned A Clockwork Orange because there were some like people who were arrested for some crimes.
Shit film.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we should still cover it, because I don't get that as well. This goes for all Kubrick films, other listeners. I appreciate the technical aspects of them, but doing 100 takes, or like doing hours and hours worth of takes, so you like break an actor down until they actually fucking freak out, and then you think,
hello, Shelley Duvall.
Shelley, just open the fucking door. And anyone seen the making of The Shining on YouTube? It's just Stanley Kubrick bullying Shelley Duvall. For fuck's sake, Shelley, everyone's waiting for you. Everybody.
I'd bully her, though. She looks a cunt. Like, she's horrible looking. Like, she ruined I love The Shining, but she ruins it for me a bit.
Have you seen the Dr. Phil episode where she's gone completely batshit crazy, and she says there's like she hears voices and stuff? I've tried to find this. I couldn't find it on any website. It's not on YouTube, not on Daily Motion. No one's pirated it. Dr. Phil came under so much like flack for interviewing her, because she's clearly needs like proper help, like hearing voices, and she's got imaginary friends, and there's stuff in the water. She sounds like some tinfoil hat conspiracy person, which kind of I do sometimes. But like, yeah, he kind of came under a lot of fire from kind of showcasing and glorifying someone with actual problems instead of going.
Oh, okay.
So
you're trying to help her.
I've tried to find it on. Well, I think he was trying to help her, but like, it's all kind of a mix of all those shows, all like the Maury stuff. Like, oh, my best friend's having my wife's having a baby, and the baby came out black, and then they bring out the guy that she's been sleeping with, and then they fight and stuff, and it becomes a big kind of freak show, if you will. He came under like a lot of attack for that, but I can't literally find the episode anywhere. Dr. Phil and Shelley Duvall. There's clips of it that someone's filmed on a phone on YouTube, but that's as good as you can get.
There you go. Somebody help Ethan out. Find those clips.
Find those clips, but I've tried. I've looked on torrent sites and everything, and I cannot find it anywhere. So I reckon it all goes back to Kubrick bullying her. But yeah, I find his films kind of very sterile. And another film that director William Friedkin has done, but this being The Exorcist, he did French Connection. That's a really good film. That's probably got the best car chase in history.
You've mentioned that before, The French Connection.
Maybe neck and neck with The Blues Brothers. Have you seen The Blues Brothers, Toffer?
I have, yes.
I fucking love that film. It's on TV on Saturday. Such a good movie.
I watched it not long ago as well.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, The Blues Brothers is a great film. I always end up after watching The Blues Brothers. I'll go on like a fall down a weird rabbit hole. Of Belushi, and then I always end up looking at fucking Chris Farley dead, and it's just weird.
Well, actually, if you're interested in Belushi, you may not have seen it, but there's a documentary called Final 24 about the last 24 hours of John Belushi.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Where he was doing eight balls or speedballing heroin and coke with Robin Williams, and that's the night I think Robin left. I think because he had to go and film something, and like he left Belushi there, and he just carried on and killed himself. I think
there's a story I've heard of John Belushi where he was. He was actually called on the set of a Star Wars film to like calm Cary Grant, fucking hell, to calm Carrie Fisher down about a cocaine habit. That's how bad Carrie Fisher was, that John Belushi had to get sent in to calm her down.
There's also a story of Harrison Ford who was like banging her behind his wife's back at the time. And
was she just not looking?
She tells a story on Bring Back Star Wars where he was kind of, he burst out of a... He had a belt around his neck and he was hanging himself naked to like play a prank on a like the David Carradine death scene out of a wardrobe. So yeah, he was 34, she was 18, I think.
What a bloke.
Naughty boy Harrison.
What a bloke. That's legal. It's perfectly legal.
Perfectly legal. But anyway, back to The Exorcist.
Yeah, The Exorcist. Yeah.
This is, of course, based on a best-selling book of The Exorcist by William Peter Blatty, who brought the transcript, I guess, scriptment, if you will, to William Friedkin because he liked The French Connection, and Friedkin, prior to that, was a documentary filmmaker, and he thought the only person that can make this real and plausible, because, I don't know, how does anyone feel out there about exorcism? People have it saying it's like a real thing. Some people say it's some aspect of kind of... Is it schizophrenia and stuff, and it's not helped by the kind of the Catholic guilt that's piled on top of that, and the priest who's kind of leading the charge and kind of like almost, I guess, if you're speaking to anyone who's a kind of I read cards or tea leaves, and they're leading you along in a sense.
Knobheads.
But yeah, he thought Friedkin was the right man for the job, which I guess he turned out. I think it's a very good film. It's for like a quality.
It's a well-made film.
Yeah, and I think all the performances are very good. Ellen Burstyn, of course, who plays the mother, Chris McNeil, who was later.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me a lot of Rosemary's Baby. Now that's another slow film, but I enjoyed Rosemary's Baby a lot. Not to watch again. I won't go back and rewatch it. But like for the time I watched it and for the build and the payoff, I thought it was a good film. Whereas this just kept going and... Ugh.
I think I prefer The Exorcist. We've just passed our first 10-minute mark. We're on 19 minutes 24.
We spent most of it talking about Stanley Kubrick.
That's fine. We can pack all this in. I was going to say, Ellen Burstyn, who plays the mom, she's in Requiem for a Dream, if anyone's seen that.
Is that the one with the famous soundtrack?
Yes, and by Clint Mansell and the Kronos Quartet, I think.
But soundtrack also to
famous
this was
for
banging,
the end
though,
scene of Ass to Ass with Jennifer Connelly. Ass to Ass, Ass to Ass. It's got Max... Huh?
Is Jennifer Connelly that dead fit one that like rides the...
The hobby horse that I sent you in. There probably you go. The greatest scene in any film. Is it... I think it's Taking Care of Business, but it's called something else in this country. It's Jennifer Connelly, Frank Wally, and they're locked in a supermarket at night, and she's at her absolute peak of hotness.
She's lovely, isn't she?
Though apparently she decries many of those films now, which is strange, because they're the things that got you there, and they're the films people still talk about, Jennifer. and not the Hulk 2003. But I digress. Father Dyer in the film, if you remember him, the one who looks a bit Matt Damon-y, that's William O'Malley. He's an actual priest toffer who until 2012 taught at the Fordham Prep Jesuit School, which is actually in that area.
Is this the old one?
Yeah. So, to go back to what you asked me originally, I saw it, I think, in 93, and I, like you, just thought, well, I appreciate its place in film history. I do actually prefer it to Rosemary's Baby, because that's just talking in rooms with Mia Farrow.
I do like her, though. She's dead good.
And at the end, when the devil's hands touching her boobs, nice nipples, by the way, her boobs, he's this, like, just someone's hand with, like, makeup on it and some egg cartons glued to it.
Maybe that's why I prefer it then, because there's no boobs in this film, in The Exorcist.
Well, there isn't, but there's a, like...
14-year-old banging herself with a crucifix.
Banging one out with a crucifix. Linda Blair, of course, who was cast a young actress as Reagan McNeil. Apparently, during the famous crucifix scene, she had no idea of what masturbation was.
I don't think she... 14-year-olds nowadays, Will.
Oh, yeah. Well, dude, I was talking to this... I did this job with this guy. He was 18. He was like... the girls at my school, man, they're all so crazy. They all think, like, the thing to do now at school is, like, taking it in the arse and stuff. When he was talking about, like, 3 or 4 years prior to before he left. And he said, because they all get, like, watch porn and stuff on their phones. They're, like, they all date these older guys and they're all, like, talking about doing it in the bum and stuff. And I was foaming at the mouth. It's like, why was I not born in, like, 2000?
Oh, dear.
But anyway, apparently they... Dick Smith, the Oscar-winning makeup artist, who trained the guy I met, my favorite makeup artist, of course, whose name I've literally went out of my head, Rick Baker, who did American Werewolf in London. Mm. He did like films like Little Big Man, where he made Dustin Hoffman look old. And if you're listening on your phone now, Google Dustin Hoffman, Little Big Man, old man makeup, and you'll see like the fantastic job he did even then. This is 1971. Dick Smith was pretty much the best guy on the planet to do makeup. He died in 2014, but he had Linda Blair stab a plastic Tupperware bowl that was between her legs, filled with a sponge and basically kerosene syrup, which is corn syrup, which is what they use for movie blood. So, Linda Blair apparently at the time had no idea what she's doing, and then they would cut to her double, whose name was, because I wrote it down, sorry, listeners, I literally had 10 minutes to prepare for the show before we started, so bear with me. Basically, had the double kind of stabbing herself, and it was the close-ups, and then Reagan saying, "Let Jesus fuck you," was, of course, delivered by Linda Blair. I'm not sure you'd be allowed to get away with that now. It'd be like child endangerment or something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you're probably not now. To be fair, they'd probably get like an 18-year-old that looks 14 now. Because of the older, didn't they? Like, everybody's always 26. I'm 26, but I'm playing a 12-year-old.
Well, have you ever seen, like, people... Well, I mean, when they did Grease and stuff, they were all in their, like, their mid-20s. Oh,
they all looked 40, especially John Travolta. Not John Travolta. Kinnicky. Kinnicky looks about 90.
Kinnicky looked 90. Well, I think, because Jeff Conway died, I think, in about 2011, because he had a lot of substance abuse problems. He was on one of those, like, Rescue or, like... those shows with like Dr. Drew, where they kind of like turn their lives around and stuff. He was on there with Eric Roberts, and Eric Roberts was in there just for smoking weed, so he was like completely fine on the show, reading the morning papers, and they were all falling apart and vomiting. And if you look at like pictures of your grandparents and stuff, when they were like 22, or they get married when they're 18, they're like, Jesus Christ, you look 45. Everyone looked so fucking old back then. But it's the first horror film to be nominated for a Best Picture Academy Award. The other three films that follow, of course, were Jaws in 1975. Let me guess. Go on. You've got two more to go after Jaws.
Okay. Silence of the Lambs, that's got to be there.
Boom, that's number two,
What year is the next one?
1999.
Sixth Sense?
Yes, well done.
Yes, bye.
Wow, he's finally learning stuff about films.
Yay.
In another 2 episodes, he's going to know everything. We can put this show to bed.
Mate, I'm smashing it this year. You know my New Year's resolution? I wanted to watch 100 new films in a year. I have seen 23 so far.
Okay, that's good.
I'm
fucking
nailing it this year.
Let's smash out some of these half an hour Was It Worth It's then.
I am nailing it. Go on, carry on. Oscar nominated and all that shit.
Yeah, it was the first kind of genre film in the horror category, I think. Although I'm not sure if it's included like the Universal Pictures from like the 30s, like Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein, that was actually nominated for an Academy Award for Best Picture. So, yeah.
What beat it?
I have no idea. I should have it written down. I literally, at 7:15, we started at 10 past. I was literally writing the intro, getting, you know, tracks and stuff. So if it's all over the place, forgive us. We're trying to do a new format, which is like quick, get them in, get them out, half an hour shows, so we can like bring you more of these charming little ditties.
Yes. You know what I did like? I liked the rocky-looking priest. I thought he was good. Father Karras.
Oh, Jason Miller. Well, actually, you know what? He is actually in. You can skip Exorcist 2, because that apparently makes no fucking sense whatsoever. Linda Blair actually blossomed into a young woman at that point, 1978, 5 or 6 years later.
How did she turn out?
She's just got these enormous bazongas. She looks great.
Fair play. Fair play. I imagine she's like a horror con fucking darling. Does she?
Oh, absolutely.
That,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And in fact, she did a spoof in 1991 with Leslie Nielsen called Repossessed.
Oh, I fucking love Leslie Nielsen.
So if you like Leslie Nielsen, listeners, and you, Toffer, maybe you want to check out Repossessed, which is the kind of comedic Naked Gun remake of The Exorcist.
I mean?
Fucking Jesse Ventura's in it, for crying out loud. Come on, what's
that?
Mate,
Jesse Ventura's mint. Goddamn sexual Tyrannosaurus.
Have you seen him after he left political office, though?
Yes,
and he did a show called Conspiracy Theory.
Yeah, he's been on a lot of podcasts.
Okay, you might
quality.
If you've not seen his show Conspiracy Theory, you might, and you listeners, want to check it out. You can find most of them on YouTube or Daily Motion, but they're all good. They do this thing called the Water Conspiracy about how bottled water is all horseshit and it's not really from springs and stuff. It's, he does some kind of, they're not kind of out there. He does out there conspiracy. He does like proper kind of like I guess corporate crime conspiracy as well, which are really good.
His JFK stuff's good.
But.
There's no way you could make shots with that thing. I was a Navy SEAL, a fighter, a governor.
That started off pretty good.
I'm Jesse Ventura.
That's pretty good.
I need like a toffee in my mouth, I think, to pull it off properly, like a half-eaten toffee.
I was a fighter, a governor.
I'll work not on bad. It. I've got my it's Chuck Heston bad. Down.
Not bad. Father Karras, I like
Father
him,
Karras, played by
good.
Jason Miller. Yeah, he... Yes. He's actually in Exorcist 3, the thing I was going to mention, with George C. Scott, which is about possession, which is also stars Brad Dourif, who's the voice of Chucky, and was also
Chucky,
in...
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Exactly. Something we've not covered, I think, but I think we should, unless you've already let the cat out of the bag. In fact, don't do that. We might do an episode on it.
Do you not get the idea of the show? It's the idea is I haven't seen a film, so we watch it.
I know.
You're just telling me to see all the films that I've watched?
Well,
we could just lie.
I recommend stuff that you should watch. And next week, of course, listeners, we've got Troll 2, which we'll come to, which I recommended to you based off The Room, which I recommended. So you trust me now, listeners.
Usually
you go off and just watch them yourself. And they go, what this? It's like dropping like toothpicks on the floor. You have to pick one and go, right, let's do a show on this, like The Exorcist.
I've watched a shitload of films this year, mate. So you got to try and keep up, motherfucker.
So your thoughts and feelings on The Exorcist, I mean, talk to me. You liked Father Karras, played by Jason Miller. Did you like Max von Sydow, who was last seen in The Force Awakens as the older priest, Father Merrin?
Yeah, he was all right.
Did any of the jump scares, because, I mean, when we talked about It, that was, of course, fell down a lot, like the Insidious films. They all rely on boo and scary screams on the soundtrack and stuff and loud noises. Did anything get you in The Exorcist that was a jump?
You know what? I liked the soundtrack a lot. Obviously, I have heard it before.
Tubular Bells by Mike Oldfield. And then the strings going...
And it's good, because like, it's not like... Whereas in Halloween, they fucking pepper it throughout the film. But in The Exorcist, it's just... They only play it at certain times, and I think it works really well. So I enjoyed that. I liked Lieutenant Kinderman.
Lieutenant Dan!
I thought he was class. I liked him. I liked his little story. And like
9 minutes.
He was one of the best things in the film. But the issue was for me, it was just too long.
Yeah,
it didn't need to be that long. And I know we've discussed it last week.
I wonder which version did you see though? Because like I said, there are three versions. There's an extended version. There's a director's cut. And then there's a regular.
That was just fucking long. Whatever I watched was long.
The director's The director's cut has the spider walk, the famous scene where she walks backwards.
Yep,
okay,
yep,
so
that
I think
was
you saw
it.
The
that
director's
was,
cut.
That was really good. There was some of the bits in it, some of the imagery in it that really, really stuck out. And like the spider walk, I knew about it, but I didn't know she moved as quick. So that
was.
Do you
think it looked freaky and stuff?
Yeah, I don't like spiders, so like she moved dead quick, and I was like, ooh, I didn't really like that. But it didn't make me jump, and it didn't scare me.
But you weren't unsettled because have we done Invasion of the Body Snatchers yet on this show?
No.
Okay, I think we should do that because I think you've seen that, haven't you?
I've again. It's one of them. I've seen bits.
Okay, the Donald Sutherland version, because that's got an unsettling atmosphere, which kind of gets you and like freaks you out and bothers you and stuff.
Okay.
As opposed to being scary, it's just like this dread that gets you. It really freaks you out and gets you.
It didn't really bother me. And the problem is because I know some of the key scenes, and I've seen him on other things, and obviously Scary Movie 2 as well. Like when he threw up on that, I was waiting for him to throw up back, and I thought, is he going to get in bed with her and start banging her or nah? But
right.
I thought, that's a Scary Movie tough.
Yeah, I think because it's like gone into the kind of the popular culture and the public
it's
lexicon.
Diluted.
It's diluted because we've all seen the things that make it The Exorcist through other mediums, like you said, through Scary Movie and comedy sketches and Repossessed.
Yeah. This is one of those good ones, though, because it's like, this is why we did this show, for me to see a film and see if it works in the eyes of a virgin viewer. I think this one just about makes it, because just bits of it will stay with me, like when she's fucking blasting herself with that crucifix, right? But there's some of it that really made me laugh, and it's just a bit because I'm a bit of a sick bastard. But when she's when she sticks her mom's head,
oh, she's like, lick it, lick it,
lick me.
She's a bit like Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight, going, hit me, hit me, hit me.
That's exactly what it's like. some of it tickled me and like made me laugh, but I had to keep reminding myself that this was set in the 70s, and I bet maybe a 27 year old version of me in the 70s would have fucking, that would have blew me away and really shocked me and bothered me, but this just really made me laugh.
Lick me,
lick me.
Someone should do a movie mashup with that, The Exorcist and Heath Ledger. She's going, lick me, hit me, lick me, hit me.
I think if they'd have knocked 25 minutes off it, it would have been a much better film. Maybe I need to watch the theatrical version.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think they've basically, William Peter Blatty, the author of The Exorcist, came to Friedkin in 2000 in the advent of DVD when it was blossoming, and said, can we re-release The Exorcist or bring it to home video with like all the extra stuff that was shot that we couldn't put in? The spider walk was cut because the wires holding her up was showing and it looked like shit because it was such bright light in the house, like realistic lighting. So that was cut because of that. And then it was reinserted in 2000 by Friedkin and Blatty and released on DVD as the director's cut. And they took all the wires out and stuff with CGI. So
there was one scene that did stand out to me, and it had nothing to do with anything shocking or visually disturbing. It was just a one shot of the two priests talk, well, the priest and the detective talking, and where they were walking across, I think it was like a courtyard, and there were people playing tennis in the background, and it was just one single shot, and then it cut away near the end. I thought that was just really good.
Yeah,
I can appreciate that.
Well, that's the bit at the end. I think the idea of that is because Karras, sorry spoilers, Jason Miller absorbs Pazuzu into himself to rescue Reagan. And he throws himself out the window, and then he falls down those like awful steep stairs, breaks every bone in his body. And I think the idea that Friedkin has said on the commentary, as those two characters were added in the 2000 director's cut, as they're walking away, the idea is they've now formed a bond. They're now friends, and Karras kind of lives all his memory through them because they've bonded over the fact they knew him and he's dead. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, like, I don't care about his mom. I don't care about that.
Why you do this to me, Dimmy?
Can you help an older boy, father? Well, the idea of that is that the evil is ever present and it's everywhere, and that's why the devil repeats that thing. The vagrant, the bum on the subway, says, "Can you help an old altar boy, father?" And then when he's impersonating your mother, the idea behind that is that evil is ever present and everywhere, and you can't really escape it. And also to convey the idea that you know, we've got your mother in hell.
Yeah, and yeah, your mother's down here.
Your mother... Yo, how do we miss that? Your mother sucks cocks in hell?
I know. Some of it fucking... If she does, then fair play to her.
Oh, my God. That's just... The penny just dropped. Of course, I remember that now. Because I was watching it. I just burst out laughing when that came on. And I think a lot of people in the theatre were laughing as well. So...
Lick me! Your mother sucks cocks in hell.
Did that look good? Did that be when...
grabs that investigator by the balls. He just grabs his junk and twists it off.
Yeah. No, there's a bit where somebody goes upstairs, they run upstairs, and she's like fucking thrashing in the bed. That looked good.
Oh, I found that funny.
Still looks good. Yeah, it's funny, but it looked good.
Well, she's actually in pain there because as she's being flipped around, the board actually came away from it. It was like slap her in the back. She's been hit on the bed. The hinge of it, and it came away. So she was being smashed into the spine as she went down. As it came up, it would like spring. So her calls for help, and it hurts and stuff. That's actually real. And
she sounds like a right team player. She sounds like she went through a fucking lot and just did really... Like, did she do anything after this, other than the comedy films or whatever?
Well, I mean, I got the year wrong on Repossessed. It's actually 1990. She did actually a film that fucking freaked the fuck out of me from 1981 called Hell Night.
Okay.
Where there are a bunch of teenagers. They go to stay in this like scary mansion as a kind of initiation as part of their university. And they're actually, there's a legend that like there's this like freaky mutated son that like was killed or thought to be like discarded by his mother. And like, because it brought shame on this like stately home family, these well to do upper crust people. So they kind of banished him. And the legend was he came back and murdered everyone later. And like he now haunts the mansion. So they, as kids, know of this legend. They go and stay in the house. Then this big mansion, people start disappearing one by one. But I thought it was like, actually a really good
house
film.
A bit like House on a Haunted Hill.
Yeah, but I thought it was actually quite scary. It was like before Friday the 13th, I think. It's 1981 or the same year. And it's Linda Blair and a bunch of teenagers. And I thought that was quite an effective film. She did, of course, Exorcist 2. She came back for Repossessed. As a sidebar, she's not in it. But I think what I mentioned, this George C. Scott, Jason Miller from the first one, who comes back as the devil in Exorcist 3, which has nothing to do with kind of the Exorcist 1 or 2. It's like a standalone film. But that's actually a really good sequel, I think. It's in a mental institution. And it's, is this person really Father Karras, who fell down the stairs and allegedly died? Or is it the devil? Or is it just a random patient who's got schizophrenia? It's interesting.
Ah.
But yeah, no, she did a bunch of kind of like B-movies after that. She didn't really capitalize, or her star just didn't grow. Airport 75 in 1974, wrong year, was actually the biggest thing she did up to that point. Then Exorcist 2, which I think failed critically and commercially with Richard Burton.
Yeah.
And then she was stuck in like, after Hell Night 1981, she was stuck in like TV hell doing stuff like The Love Boat and Fantasy Island. And a lesbian prison movie called Chained Heat. So
lesbian prison movie, you say?
We're in. Yes. With Sybil Danning from Battle Beyond the Stars and Howling 2. Chained Heat, 1983. Have a look at it, Toph. Ross, send you a link. Okay. That is my alarm telling us we've run out of time. Our 30 minutes are up. So normally we'd dreamcast a modern day remake, and unless you want to skip that, Toph, we'd just wrap it up. But,
well, I don't know many young actresses.
You don't. Having said that, I have sent pictures of her to you. Bella Thorne, who is my number one girl on the planet right now.
Right, okay. Is she of age?
The 20-year-old actress. Okay. What I like about her is she looks amazing, but apart from that, she looks completely wild. She's always on Instagram smoking weed or going to parties or hanging out with like...
Oh, so she loves it then?
Men of ill repute. So
I've got her here. Bella Thorne. Got her here. Dude. Oh, yeah, she could work.
She's got one nipple pierced. She's a bad girl. I love that.
I got a nipple pierced. Am I a bad girl?
Yeah. Have you? It's just so odd on men.
No, I haven't, no.
We'll skip past that. We will try, because we're trying to bore the format down to not an hour and a half listen, so we can bring you more shows. We're trying to get it within 30 minutes, so we will get this better. We did the intro. We did the first time seeing it. We did our reactions and thoughts on it. And
you know who could work? You know who could play her? Her name's Naomi Scott, and she played the Pink Ranger in the new Power Rangers film, and she's very, very cute. She could work. Obviously, we're gonna wrap it up, but do you think this film would work today?
As of 1993, and that was its 20th anniversary when I saw it, I didn't think it worked that well. I appreciated it for what it was.
Yeah.
And I've not really seen it much since then, so maybe I should rewatch it.
So eliminate this film from history. It gets re-released in 2018. Does it set the world on fire, or does it just fade away?
No, because as I say in much of my comedy, as a generation of children that have grown up with a phone that you can literally type in man having sex with a horse and see that, probably wouldn't be as effective as it is now. When you can literally see, probably you can probably find on the dark web teenage girls ramming themselves with crucifixes.
Lick me!
Lick me!
So yeah, unfortunately, I don't think it would have the same effect. To remake it, I don't know how you would kind of top that, because it's still like a horrible image and stuff.
Yeah, the Insidious team would do it, wouldn't they? And it'd just be jumpy. They'd just jump scare every 5 minutes.
But the girl would have clown makeup on.
Yeah, she'd be hiding behind the door as her mom walks in the bedroom and just jump out. Lick me!
There's actually a good film that you might want to see called Mama. That's a ghost story. And
seen it.
Okay. I thought that was quite good. It wasn't like terrifying, but I thought that was a better antidote to the Insidious stuff because the actual creature or the monster was scary.
You know, it's a good film and it's got exorcist aspects in it. The Conjuring and The Conjuring 2, they're good films.
I've seen one. I've not seen two.
You'd probably prefer two. Most people do, but I prefer one. You know the Enfield Hauntings?
Yes, with Timothy Spall, the British.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty. They do that. They do the Enfield Hauntings. It's a pretty good film. You'd like it. Okay.
And then the Killer Doll one is a spin-off of that. Is that right?
Annabelle, yeah. Annabelle Creations is a good film as well.
If you actually look at the real story of that, the doll looks nothing like the one in the movie. And the legend is someone just saw, they said it moved once.
Oh, that's dead good. The wind blew it and thought, oh, let's make a film out of that then. My doll's obviously a murderer. My doll's a murderer.
Whenever something says based on true events, it's most probably bullshit.
Yes.
But we digress. Next week, we'll be bringing you...
Are you not going to ask the question?
Oh, sorry, Toffer. Well, we're out of the 30-minute mark. But yeah, Toffer, do you think The Exorcist 1973 was worth it?
Just
about worth it. Okay.
Only just. Out of 10, it would get a 6.
By one of Linda Blair's crotch hairs, it just scrapes by.
Yeah, 5.5. Yeah, 5.5.
Okay.
So I think I gave it 3 stars.
Toffer gave The Exorcist 1973 the size of his dick. And there we have it.
Yeah. average and girthy.
As you saw, or hopefully listened to, rather, The Room last week meets The Disaster Artist, which was a favourite show of ours and a favourite film.
Yeah.
We just ruined the last show. I recommend it to Toffer, maybe the next worst film of all time, or what people consider worse than maybe The Room, or it's neck and neck, depending on what you think. Troll 2.
Yes.
I recommend it to Toffer. Toffer actually watched it, so we're going to do that as next week's episode. Yeah. My confession to Toffer is, I've never seen Troll 2.
What?
The Troll 2 is like The Exorcist to you. I've seen the bits that thing. Oh, they're eating her.
Have you honestly never sat down and watched it?
I'm trying to find Killjoy 2. I'm working on that, Toffer. I'll try and find it somewhere. I think I've got it on DVD in the house.
I'll
get a copy to you somehow.
I'm watching it again tonight. Watch it.
Okay, so I'll watch Troll 2, and I'm going to send you, Toffer, the documentary of Troll 2, which is like The Disaster Artist, called Best Worst Movie.
I've also seen that.
Okay, brilliant. So you don't need to do any homework. Nope. I need to actually do my homework and watch Troll 2, so that will be next week's episode. So we'll hopefully get that to you hot and fresh every Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
And yes, we'll see you shortly. Thank you so much for listening. You can find me on Ethan McKinley UK. Toffer, as it's your show, where can they find you on social media?
At Was It Worth It Pod for this show. At _ Master Debaters for the Master Debaters show. Find us on YouTube, Facebook and all that shit. And also our Instagram, which is growing lovely at the minute. It is also at _ Master Debaters. I post 1 minute clips of three or 4 minute long drive-bys. And it's shit is popping, yo. As I am now famous in the podcasting world. I had my full name mentioned on Hollywood Babylon. Thank you very much.
Well, maybe now you can get actual mics for your show so it sounds like a professional show.
We had mics. Mine just got knocked and it was turned down.
Instead of being through sounds like it being recorded through a colander in someone's living room with no furniture in it.
It sounded like I was being recorded through somebody else's microphone, but it was just that mine was quiet and it fucking pissed me off loads. It really, really did. We recorded like 2 hours of content as well. And like, I can't use
it. Did you get a jump in listeners through Ralph talking about it on Hollywood Babylon? Or have you had some like people looking at your shit now, do you think?
Yeah. We've had a lovely little spike. We've had a good week. We've had a really, really good week. And it's all thanks to Mr. Frank Garman. So we really appreciate it.
For deep cuts.
Bants.
thanks for listening, folks. We shall return next week with the possible worst movie of all time, Troll 2.
Right in.
I'm signing off, not my show. Thank you for listening, listeners. I've been Ethan McKinley. He's been Christopher Parr / Toffer.
Yes. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. And peace, bitches.
Peace out. We love you. Bye.
Do you know what she did? Your canting daughter.